Hey, peace, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Corner Store Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Koval. In the building, as always, on WGN Radio, shout out to our super producer, DJ Cash Era. Want to encourage you, if you have not already, to please follow and subscribe on whatever platform you are downloading and listening to or streaming podcasts. And consider, please, rating the pod, because then that helps us in the back end of things. I hope you are having a good end of your year as we progress towards, hopefully, what will be a more resilient finish of this trash-ass dumpster fire of a year. But that being said, I hope you are well, and I personally am fortified by the incredible guests we've had in the Corner Store, because creativity really will lead us into a future that I think, hopefully, we want to live in together. And today, we have a creative who is, you know, no different, someone whose work I've admired, someone who is probably one of the most recognizable street artists in the city of Chicago, although you wouldn't know his face. You would only know the everyman characters that he creates on the street, someone whose art is profound in its commentary, as well as funny and insightful. We have none other than Penny Pinch in the Corner Store. Sir, welcome.
All right, how you doing?
Good, man. Yo, it's great to have you. It's I feel like it's long overdue, and I'm grateful that you're in the building. So, you know, to begin with, man, you know, just if you could talk a little about just, you know, what, you know, how do you come to this name, Penny Pinch? And I want to ask about the characters and everything, but we'll get there. How does the name how do you take that moniker?
Oh, well, when I was starting to think about doing street art, I kind of started with a concept before I started with, like, actually what I wanted to paint. And so the concept I started with was, how can I make art for free? So I came up with the name Penny Pinch. I thought it was, like, a playful way to, like, it's like a nice alliteration. Like, alliterations are always nice, you know. But it's just it was like a playful way for me to kind of say, like, I don't spend money. And so the concept for my art was, you know, what kind of street art can I make? What can I do? How much can I do with spending no money? And it's been 8 years and haven't spent any money. So it's been pretty cool.
Spent no money in 8 years.
Yeah, no money on art. Everything is either found or dumpster dive or given to me or Craigslist or, you know, Facebook Marketplace is like a treasure trove. Like, you can find stuff if you're looking for it, you know?
Amazing. So I want to go back to eight years ago then. And when you said when you started to get into street art, take us back to that time. What was the turning point for you? What were you seeing? What was the impetus to get you involved in starting to put stuff on the street?
Well, I grew up in Lakeview, and so I grew up, like, seeing graffiti around, like, as a kid. But, like, I was, like, a rule follower. Like, never in my life would I write on a building. Like, I'm too afraid. But I was always interested in, like, urban art, and I got interested in street art, like, in high school and in college. And then in 2010, I saw a huge Gaia piece in Detroit. And Gaia is an artist that does wheat pastes, but the wheat pastes that they do are huge. Like, this piece that I saw in Detroit was probably like 15 feet wide by 8 feet high, and it was of a hand holding a pigeon. And I remember kind of like turning the corner and seeing this piece and just kind of like being stuck in my tracks, like just stopped, like, whoa, like, what is this? And the artist was able to say so much without any words, without any saying anything. And at that point I was like, oh, like, street art rules. Like, I want to do that sometime. And so, the reason I started in 2012 was cause, I'm a musician, and like my bands weren't really doing much at the time. And I'm just kind of like a very creative person. Like, I'm always creating. I always have to be writing or writing songs or playing songs or painting, or I always have to be doing something. And my bands weren't really doing much, and so I just started doing art, and it was pretty much that simple. Like, nothing huge, nothing, like, it's just I needed to create, and so I found this way that I could create. And what's amazing about street art is, like, you can create as much as you want because you don't hold on to it. So, like, I can make a million posters because I'm just going to put them all on the street and they're not stuck in my house, you know? And so, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm curious about the music because that's something I didn't know. Are you, I mean, you know, you are one of the most prolific street artists in the city in the last, you know, since you've been doing it, and still, you know, to this day, you know, very regular with and I want to ask about kind of, you know, in shelter art making and your practice of going out. But are you still in bands? Are you still able to do that?
Yeah. I've been in bands since I was like 11. I was in a pop punk band when I was at 11. And I've been doing it ever since. You know, like, I play drums and I play guitar, and grew up like in the punk rock DIY scene, like skater punk scene. It's a huge part of my life. I often tell people that, like, I don't really view myself as like a painter or like even as an artist, but I view myself as like a creator. Like, I just have to be constantly making things. And sometimes, you know, it's things to show on the street. Sometimes it's music. Sometimes it's poems. Sometimes it's just like art projects with my kids, you know, like, it just like constantly creating.
Have you always been like that? I mean, as a kid, were you kind of interested in creation, creativity, the arts in that way?
Not really. Like, I never painted until I started doing street art in 2012. So, like, never as a kid did I paint. Like, I doodled a little bit and stuff, but never really interested in art, like visual art. Never took art, like, in high school or in college. It was always music. And in my music career, I'm also quite prolific in a similar way, where it's like, if I sit down today, I can write a song, you know, like, it's just something that comes, quantity is something that comes easy to me, for better or for worse.
Is that because you're a disciplined person who allows or gives yourself the space to make?
I think that that's part of it, but I think it's also, I'm just like I'm all in. So, like, if I'm doing something, I'm doing it. And, like, I don't question, like, I don't question the things that I make too much. Like, I just make them, and they are what they are. And if someone else doesn't like it, okay, cool, whatever. Like, this is the thing I made. This came out of me. Like, this is part of this came out of whatever I was going through. I'm not overly critical with my art. And once again, maybe for better or for worse, but it's just, you know, I create because I'm a creator, and, like, you know, I have to create. It's a part of who I am, and it makes, if I don't do that, I'm not being true to who I am. So it's, being prolific is just like, I don't know, like, being prolific doesn't mean good. It just means you make a lot.
That's right. No, I don't want to, I certainly do not want to out you. I do want to give you the opportunity, if you so choose, to plug the bands that you're a part of, if you wish, just to, if people do want to find that music, want to give them the opportunity to do so. But also, I'm conscientious of, the retention of your anonymity. So,
Yeah, hit me up on the DMs.
Great. Okay. Good. And as we're talking, actually, that's a good segue. where can people? What's the best place to find you on socials so they know where to do so?
I'm on Instagram _pennypinch_.
Okay. Great. Perfect. Thank you. yeah, man. So I'm interested in the progression of these 8 years, you know, to go from not painting at all into, I mean, obviously I would imagine there's a big learning curve. There's what I would presume would be maybe some starts and stops. You know, early on, how did you start to get your footing, in the practice of putting stuff on the street?
I would just, I would just do it. I don't know. I lived in Avondale, and at that time, Avondale was like up and down Milwaukee there was like no stores, you know? So it's like just a ton of vacant shops, just a ton of board ups, a ton of, you know, like Logan Square at that time was much different. Like I could just go 3 miles up and down Milwaukee and hit a million spots, you know? And so just walking around, you know, riding my bike, putting up stickers, just going out there and doing it because I was interested.
The practice, I mean, because, you know, in order to put up, you know, one, anything on the street, stickers, obviously, you know, a little easier than wheat paste, I would imagine. But, you know, you have, you know, I don't know if you've kept track of how many things you've posted in the street, but I've personally seen hundreds. It's probably in the thousands, maybe even tens of thousands. You know, you have to do it with a kind of stealth-like quality. You know, I mean, I one of the things I admire and really respect about street artists and graffiti artists, they do it, you know, under the cloak of, you know, some sort of disguise, either physically or under, you know, under the guise of night or what have you. You know, how did you develop that practice of trying to, you know, exist under the radar?
People in Chicago, like in a busy city like this, we think people are like looking at us and they're not, you know? So like, we think everybody like driving by that they're looking at everything we're doing and they're not. Like nobody knows what's going on. Nobody cares. So you just, after a while, you just learn, like, you learn how to like, just don't look conspicuous. Put stuff up, be quick. Like that's what's nice about wheat paste is you do all the work at home and then you essentially just glue it to a wall. So like it takes 30 seconds. It's the easiest thing in the world. And you can be in and out real quick. Stickers, man, you do stickers. I can do stickers in front of your grandma right now, you know, like all day, every day in front of cops. Like it's so easy. It's so easy to put up stickers. And right now with COVID, like this is like kind of a little bit of a blessing for a, for somebody who's anonymous, but like we all have to wear masks, so like wear a mask and put up a sticker. It's the easiest thing in the world, you know, like,
right?
I'm not saying to do that, but I'm saying one could,
right? Yes. Yeah. I thought I mean, early in shelter, I thought, you know, the folks who are most prepared for this are graffiti artists and street artists, not only because of the masks, but because, you know, you venture out in small groups or alone. You know, you kind of, there's a social distance practice that is necessary to do the art. And all artists, I think, in some ways, like, are, you know, not all artists are introverts, but you need a practice of, you know, introspection in order to get the work done. You know, there's a kind of isolation that comes with creation. And so I am wondering about, and I've seen you be very prolific during this time, but how has, I want to come back to these 8 years, but how has this experience, of COVID and being in shelter, how has that affected the way that you make and what you've been able to put on the street?
I mean, I think there's kind of like two answers of that for me. Like the first was like when pandemic first started, I think every artist felt so much pressure to be creative. But like, if you remember, everyone was posting like, don't waste your time, let this be your blue period, like write your book, write that album, record it, you know, make that body of work. And like, we were all feeling such crazy pressure that like, you have to create. And I don't know about you, but like part of the reason I got into like graffiti and street art is because like I can do whatever the heck I want. Like, right. You don't tell me what to do. Like, so for a little bit there, I felt like, and I know a lot of artists got burnt out real quick, you know, and it's like, I think pandemic as maybe one of the hidden blessings is that it did create space for people to be creative. Also, there was just like this pressure that like you couldn't run away from, because it's like, well, you're at home anyway. Like, oh, you still haven't done that thing, like you're just at home. So I tried to make sure that during this pandemic I take time to do other stuff too, like take time to like watch that movie I want to watch, read that book I want to read, do things that like don't result in some kind of reward or benefit or something that isn't work, you know? Like, part of the reason I like street art is my hobby. Like, it's not my job, and I don't want it to be my job. If it was my job, I'd go about it way different, you know? And like, anytime it feels like a job, I kind of back away. Hmm. So like, there's times, cause this, you know, it's my hobby. It's something I love to do. And whenever I feel like it's becoming a job, or whenever I get stressed about it, or whenever it's taking too much of my time, I just like take a step back, cause I can, you know? And if it's not fun, what's the point?
Right. Right. I think that's a great kind of ars poetica, you know, a good guiding principle for all art, you know, because if, I mean, not that it's always fun for me to make something. Sometimes, you know, the content might be difficult to go back into. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, the process of creating for me is always rewarding, is always refreshing, right. Is always, you know, gives me energy. You've been out here though in these pandemic streets.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, no, people aren't out. The streets are empty. There's all these board ups. There's, right. You know, like, we're still making work, you know?
Yeah. Like, has it been more productive production as per usual?
I think it's been more productive, and I think part of that is once again, when pandemic happened, a lot of artists were afraid that like they wouldn't be able to sell work and stuff. But what I've found is people are like looking for art right now. Like, I'm selling like a lot of art. That's like not a brag, just like reality of like, that's what's happening right now. And I think, you know, when times get rough, people look for some kind of beauty in the world. Mm. And people are looking for, they're looking for art. Like, art is how we process what's going on around us, you know? And like, people are looking for art right now. And so like, I don't know, that's part of the struggle though, as a creative, right, Kevin? Like, we create not just for ourselves, but for others, because creativity is like, art is something that helps us cope with what's going on around us, you know? And with pandemic and with whatever's going on with this election, like, we got a lot of feels going on, you know? And like, with the police brutality and with all these times, like, there's a lot going on, and there's a lot for artists to help us understand. And so like, I look to the artists that I like to like help me cope and help me understand and help me process what's going on. I look to music, I look to art, I look to food, I look to in movies and books, and you know, you look to all this stuff, to poetry, right, to see like how do we process what's going on around us.
Yeah, no, indeed. All right, I want to talk about your character. Sure. You know, and you have a lot of different styles, but one of the recurring images in your work is this character who is, you know, who is adorned in many different outfits, sometimes almost a kind of Where the Wild Things Are type of costume, but also is just like a guy, and seems like, you know, a guy you could see at any, you know, dive bar in the city in some ways. And so I want to know about this character and who he is and what he means to you and how you came about creating him.
Yeah, I think of him as the everyman. You know, he's the every person. He's just like you said. He's Chicago for me. Like, he's put your head down, do your work, do what you gotta do, work hard, go home, do it again, you know? And I know you champion that in your poetry, the Chicago work ethic. And I mean, that's who we are, right? Like, this, we grew up here, we're Midwestern values. We work hard, we wake up, we do it again.
Yeah.
And I think that my character, for me, my character embodies like comfort. Just like, this is who he is, you know, like, this is the character, here he is. He's sad today, he's happy today, he's indifferent today. Yeah, it's comfort, it's just everyday experience.
Yeah, and he says a lot too. I mean, he's, you know, or you do, or you know, because he you incorporate a lot of text, but there are. I mean, he's funny. There are, you know, it's cartoon like some of these bubble these thought bubbles or dialogue bubbles that you also put into the pieces, and so. I'm curious about that aspect of creation too. I mean, you said, you know, sometimes you'll write poems and so the text and the image, how often are those created simultaneously? Do you create an image and you're like, what should this thing say? Or are you just constantly writing almost one liners that then later will have an image that you can apply? How does that work out?
Yeah, I have like a notebook with one liners that I come up with. I'm like a old school, like I carry a pocket calendar and like phones don't make sense to me. You know, I have like a notepad that I write notes in and I write it down. I write things down, or if I see something online that I think is funny, like a word or something I don't understand. Like the other day I wrote like, I still don't know how to eat. And like, I just think the word yeet is hilarious and I really don't understand it. And like, maybe that's showing my age, but like, I don't know what yeet means.
Yeah.
Like, I think I can use it in a sentence, but like, I don't know. I think anyone could use it in a sentence because you just throw it in there. But I come up with the statements and then I just put them in the pieces. But the statements, you know, like, are they sarcastic or are they not?
Right.
Are they real or are they not?
Right.
Are they jokes or are they real? Are they social commentaries? And that's kind of the middle ground I want to walk on, is I want, if you want to read this as a joke, it can be a joke. If you want to read it as a social commentary, you can read it as a social commentary. I want you to be able to bring what you want to these ambiguous statements. You know, like, also, like, as a Chicagoan, we are inherently sarcastic. Like, we breathe sarcasm. And like, it's just such a big part of who we are, you know? Like, so for example, like one of my phrases, like can stop, might stop, like, okay, that's funny. Or is it something more serious?
Right.
You know, yeah. Or like, perhaps it's a critique on grind culture, perhaps. Or maybe it's just me making a stupid joke, you know? So like, you can kind of bring to it whatever you want.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's nice about simple art, is simple art, you don't have to think too hard about what it means. Like when you see a guy in a costume, like, oh, that's a dude in a buffalo costume. Or that's a dude in a frog costume. Like, oh, okay. Oh, he's saying this thing. Okay. You don't have to think too hard. And that's what's nice about simple art, is like, you can kind of, it's for everyone. Because that's always my problem with art, is it's like, who's art for? You know, like, if art is for, who is art for? And that's what I love about street art, is it's for everybody. It's accessible. It's easy. And part of what I was doing with Penny Pinch, what I've tried to be doing with Penny Pinch over the last few years, is how can I make like simple art that is for everyone? It's not just for people with money. It's not just for people in certain neighborhoods. It's not just for people who can afford to go to art shows or galleries or whatever. Like, it's, art should be for everyone. Art should be accessible. Art should be affordable. You know, like, I hate going to a gallery and seeing amazing pieces and being like, well, can't have that, you know, like, can't afford that one. Can't afford that one either. I guess I'm just going to have prints, you know, but like, it's nice to be able to create art that people can afford and that people can have. And I think part of what my art is a critique on art. And that you can only do that with simple art. Mm. My art has been called childish, and I think that that's a great compliment. Because kids don't overthink, they just do.
Nice. It's probably why the street is also such an important forum for your work and continues to be, right? Is even as you grow in, you know, a non-traditional but increasingly traditional kind of alt art world, you know, I've seen you in the gallery a ton of times now over the last bunch of years, but, you know, you continue to make sure that people have access to your work for the free in the street too.
Yeah, I try to.
Yeah.
The older you get, the harder it gets, you know.
Right, right.
You don't got the same amount of time.
Well, and that's because, you know, Penny Pinch also has a family and a day job and, right? I mean, you said, you know, street art is not your job, it's your hobby. And I wonder if you can talk about your day job or... again, don't want to out you, but I know you do a lot of other things, you know?
Yeah, I always tell people that, like, people are like, oh, aren't you anonymous? And I'm like, no, not really. I just, like, what I say is it's an open secret. That's what I say. So, like, everyone who knows me knows that I do Penny Pinch. If I see you and you ask me if I'm Penny Pinch, I'm going to say yes. Like, I don't hide from it. I don't hide from who I am. This is who I am. It's an important part of who I am. But I have found it to be helpful to keep my name and my art separate. It's convenient, you know, like, I don't know. It's nice to keep those worlds separate, but they're still both a huge part of who I am. So my day job is I'm actually a pastor. I do, I'm a pastor for a Christian church, which I do a lot of, like, youth development stuff. I went to school for youth ministry, you know, like, teens, young adults, and Jesus is, like, what I'm about, you know, and creativity. And I believe that we are creative beings made in the image of a creator. Like, one of the first things we see about God in the Bible is that he is a creator, he is creative, and we are made in his image, and so we should be creating. It's an important aspect of who we are. It's what it to be human is to create, according to the Bible. And so, yeah, you know, we're just out here trying to teach people how to love each other and to take care of one another and, loving on our community. The community we served is up in Albany Park in Mayfair area, the far north side. And we're just out here, you know, trying to love on people and trying to encourage creativity.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's interesting because, you know, as much as you keep those worlds separate, which I understand the necessity of, you know, that message also is very much in your work, of course, you know, and I garner that from, you know, the character is a lot of things. And certainly what I feel like one of the things that the character is doing is accounting for the underdog, is accounting for, you know, his fellow workers and those who oftentimes are transgressed against by the powerful, you know? And so I don't know if that's, I imagine that has to be intentional and probably in part comes from, you know, your spiritual and religious practice and work.
Yeah. You know, everything's connected, you know? Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for saying that. That's very astute of you. Yeah. I mean, I live my life trying to follow the teachings of Jesus. And Jesus always stood up for the underdog. You know, like, justice is what Jesus is about. So, if we're going to be about Jesus, we got to be about justice. And so that goes into art, you know, like thinking about the underdog, thinking about, the every man, the every person. Yeah.
Oh,
and I know all of you about to hit my DMs, like, how can a pastor paste? Think it through a little bit before you DM me.
Yeah, please think it through. Don't say that in his DMs. Just hit him up about his punk rock career and buying his art, please. Do not fucking be that douchebag. Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense to me, man. And it's really it's enlightening to hear you say it too. So it's powerful and reminds me really of like, you know, like the best of, you know, in my estimation, some of the, you know, what I've learned about Christianity being a Jewish kid is, you know, the, you know, some of the best and most progressive thinkers have come from the space of liberation theology and, you know, understanding right. Jesus as a revolutionary figure and, you know, a radical actor against tyrannical regimes. And so, you know, I appreciate that and you know, that in you saying that too. So thank you for that. I want to be fully transparent because, you know, we have collaborated before and I was really honored to do so. You know, I forget exactly how it came about, but I feel like maybe you reached out to me. Maybe I'm misremembering. But these works, that you made, you know, taking some lines from a new body of work that I'm working on, they made the street, I guess, I don't even know how, 18 months ago. I don't know time anymore.
Yeah, it was, about probably 18 months ago. I hit you up because I was trying to think of some ways that I could do street, quote unquote, art that wasn't just about visual art. And so about 5 years ago, I had collabed with a friend of mine who is a poet. And I asked him, you know, write some 5 to 12 word poems, which... is really hard.
Very
to like
hard.
Pack oh, meaning in Yo. 5 to 12 words. And my friend, his name is Mike, he did that and it was so fun and so amazing and like such a cool collaboration to put poetry and art together on the street. And so I reached out to you saying like, hey, would you like to write some 5 to 12 word poems? And you like blew my mind because you were like, well, actually I'm writing this new book. And why don't you just read this book before anyone else reads it and pick out some lines that you like and we could put those on posters. And I got to read a Kevin Koval book before it was edited. Like I got to read your
the
your
very raw, yeah.
Yeah, like
I'm embarrassed you know, like, actually.
I was reading it and I was like, should I be correcting his grammatical errors? Like,
probably.
I know. Changing the spelling on these words.
I know. What an imposition. I'm sorry. Thank you for, getting through that with me.
No, I was, like, so moved. Like, I remember, like, I was so moved, like, to read this book. It was just, like, it was a real honor for me to, like, read this and to be trusted with that and to be able to see that before many others were able to see it and just, like, to kind of just experience that with you was such a gift to me.
Thank you.
And I really enjoyed going through that. And so I was able to pick out some lines and I have to acknowledge that they're out of context, you know, cause like I took these 5 to 12 words out of the midst of a larger poem. But I think we were able to put together some really nice pieces of that are a mix between my art and your poetry. You know, we made a bunch of them and put them up on the street. And then I made a second series of those.
I was so honored, you know, to that one that you reached out and two, just what turned out to be this really powerful, beautiful product that I think still every now and again, like we get tagged on the gram that some of these pieces are still running, which is incredible, given it's been a year and a half. But from what I understand that these pieces will continue to have a life that people can, see and take home, in the near future.
Yeah, that's the hope. Penny Pinch is teaming up with YCA and Kevin Koval to show off these pieces and hopefully raise a little bit of money so we can get back to YCA and continue the good work y'all are doing with the youth. Like if we're not thinking about young artists, like art's going to go away. You know, like we need to empower these young artists and YCA has done that for so long. And we're hoping maybe we can figure out a way to do that even with visual art as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And of course, got to shout out the good homie, Alan Weinberger, Burger Art on the gram, who is, you know, helping to bring this together. And so just please, y'all, stay in tune, because I think just really in a few weeks, you'll be able to see this series, this collection that Penny Pinch is talking about. And proceeds will go to help support a new venture at Young Chicago Authors, kind of moving toward the idea of Young Chicago Artists. And, you know, we're an organization that's known for creative writing. But over the last few years, have been, you know, understanding that a lot of the young people we work with also have the desire or are already visual artists in their own right. And so we want to continue to provide space and workshop opportunities for them. So, you know, one of the things I might tap you for then in the future is to come back and do a workshop with the folks at YCA too. But yeah, man, look, it's really a pleasure and an honor. And I'm grateful for our relationship and the collaboration and just all the work that you do, in the city and for the city. And just, you know, it's really beautiful to see, man. And it's great to hear a little bit of your story today. So thanks so much for being in the Corner Store. Before we get out, again, one more time, what's the best way to be in tune with you on socials?
Instagram. _PennyPinch_
Yes, sir, man. All right. Well, go give him a follow if you don't already. And thanks again for being in the Corner Store, man.
All right. Thanks, Kevin.
Shout out our super producer, DJ Cashera. Big up boss man, Todd Manley. Thank you to our official Corner Store photog, Mercedes Zapata. Salutes to the Snack Door, Max. Also, please, y'all, follow our Instagram. It's corner_pod on IG, on Twitter. Tell us who you want to see in the Corner Store. And also, please consider dropping a couple of dollars into our Patreon account. It's patreon.com/corner_pod.
The Corner Store is brought to you by Stolen Spirits.